I wanted to mention a few things about angels. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding in our culture about angels. No human being ever becomes an angel. No angel ever becomes a human being. God has made them for purposes of his own. In fact, he has declared the purposes of angels and the purposes of humans in Scripture. The purpose of humans is to give glory to God. The purpose of angels is to serve those who will receive salvation, from Hebrews 1. There is no reference in the Bible specifically to an angel appearing as a woman. And yet our culture seems to see angels as women. I'm not too awfully surprised at that, actually. There's so many influences that contributed to this. Much of it probably came from the Renaissance and Reformation, where certain things were idealized. And so much of the understanding of the shepherds and Mary and Joseph is a little lost because we've kind of missed something about angels. The Bible says that angels are going to be present at judgment time. Throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, of course, too, particularly in Revelation 4, we see these persons of heaven. Angels are specifically mentioned. Seraphim and cherubim. And by the way, cherubim, the I-M is the ending, the plural ending. There's more than one. And a cherub is not a little baby in a diaper with wings. A cherub is one who guards the glory of God. That's his purpose. And when one of them decided to take on additional purpose, Lucifer, his name, he was cast out of heaven and guaranteed the place. In fact, hell was created for him and his angels, the ones who followed him. So associated with judgment in the world, spoken of back actually a couple of different times in the book of Daniel. Chapter 12 starts out with the Michael, the archangel, as he comes to judge the world, and some will be taken to judgment and some will be taken to paradise. And that's the first few verses of Daniel 12. And Michael is the one who stands for Israel, the covenant that God made with Israel. There's another one mentioned in the book of Daniel, and that's Gabriel. He was helping Daniel understand and to be able to write down some of the prophecies that God was giving to him with regard to the judgment of nations as it progressed. Many of those who saw angels in the Old Testament were instantly afraid because they thought, well, I think it was a great association with this judgment, this accountability that we're responsible for in the future. When the end comes and we stand before God, the angels are there. In fact, Revelation speaks of the loosening of seals and angels sounding trumpets and so on, or that are judgments upon the earth in the future. And so with this idea of angels coming, there was a great fear just because of that. Not necessarily that they appeared with hideous masks to startle some people. They didn't need that. There was a fear of God and of judgment and accountability before God that was built in to the appearance of angels. Gabby, can just click through the passage. We've read this twice. And should be number 9, I think, is where we'll start. Oh, hey, I'm supposed to do these. I forgot. This magic wand here with batteries. Okay. I got that one up. I have 3 points to share with you today. And it has to do with the shepherds, and it has to do with the angels, and basically what God has sent an angel to communicate to the shepherds, and then what happened. We know this story so well, and perhaps we understand it quite well too. But maybe then again, there are some things about this that we haven't quite grappled with. Some things in the text that are rather remarkable, as was read with the Advent candle. The angel appeared to the shepherds, and the word was terrified. King James said, sore afraid, S-O-R-E, afraid. Basically the same thing. They were scared spitless. Basically, that's what was happening. They were afraid. Why were they instantly afraid? Simply because the angel appeared. We've talked a little bit about that already, because of the association with angels and judgment. And who would be able to stand before God instantly without fear? We have good reason to fear. In fact, God's Holy Spirit builds the fear inside of us from the interior. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Two different passages in Proverbs. This fear is appropriate, totally appropriate for us. And it's not as if the shepherds shouldn't have been afraid. They responded the way that they should have, and they did, and they would have. But it's interesting in the appearance of Gabriel to Mary. The angel told her, "Fear not, Mary. Don't be afraid." It's not Judgment Day. This is a different task that Gabriel's bringing. Do you know why Mary was afraid that day? The text in Luke chapter 1 tells us Mary was afraid not because of this understanding of judgment coming and this angel and Gabriel is standing before her. It was how he greeted her. That was perplexing to her, because he said, "Greetings, Mary, you are highly favored by God." I find that really entrancing, because why would somebody be afraid because God is going to give them favor? Well, that wasn't something that was built into their theology at that point. When they committed a sin, they would offer a sacrifice. They were obedient to the law, or were required to be obedient to the law, in order to have the pleasure of God in their life. And the whole family would work together in order to establish a life that was free from disobedience, from falling short of what they should have been doing, and actually rebelling and doing what they were told not to. And then the angel comes to Mary, whose name, by the way, means bitter. I don't know if you know. The name Mary means bitter. Perhaps it was because she was born during bitter times when the Israelites were managed by an overlord, Rome, a pagan nation. But here she is, and Gabriel appears. There's nothing about this appearance of Gabriel that would cause her to suddenly be frightened. But this greeting, And the Bible says that with this greeting that troubled her. Favor from God. And the word is based on the word for grace. That's what the favor is, charis. That is undeserved favor. It's not like you go to your neighbor and get a cup of sugar to make the cookies. It's not that kind of favor. It's not that. It is something that you would ask, somebody would offer you, and you know that you don't deserve anything of the kind of what they're giving you. Hmm. some things kind of zipping through my mind, but I'll spare you. There was fear, even though there was not this association with judgment at this point for Mary. Joseph, angel appeared to him in a dream and said, don't be afraid to marry Mary. Don't be afraid to go through with this. He was considering divorcing her privately because of this, what seemed to be an obvious adultery going on, and yet he did not want her to be subject to disgrace. There's an amazing relationship there that of Joseph's character. And the angel appeared to him in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Everything was done in their marriage except that they were not living together and they hadn't consummated their marriage. The paperwork was all done. It was all legal. That's what a betrothal is for them. But they hadn't completed it. It wasn't all done. And then the angel appeared to Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child she bears, God conceived that child. And by the way, you're going to marry Mary, and you are going to give him his name, Jesus. And you're going to give him the name Jesus because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. A couple of other fears, and it wasn't just this abject terror of all of a sudden seeing an angel appear. But the angel said, don't be afraid. And then the next thing the angel said, we usually don't pay much attention to this word, but it is amazing. How many times in conversation have you used the word behold? It's in songs and so on. And in this case, the angel is speaking to the shepherds. And he said, don't be afraid. They were scared, and they were told not to be. Now, consider this just a moment. This is kind of funny to me. Here they are on the hillside, and the angel appears in his glory, boom, and just suddenly appears right before him, and then the angel says, don't be afraid. What is that? They would be afraid. I mean, they're tremendously startled. And then to realize this is an angel. And all of the ramifications of that. He had already, it's interesting. Don't be afraid. And then he says, behold. Behold means pay attention. Focus. Get it in your mind. Do not be distracted. Focus on this. And I can just see maybe, like one of my teachers probably should have done to me, and taking me between the, on each side of my head, drawing face right up to mine and said, what is it with you? Listen to me. No. You listen to me. I see your eyes rolling around. You listen to me right now. You better focus. I can just imagine it from the angel's perspective. You better listen to me. This is a major thing. I can see the ADHD in you, and you got to get past it. You know? Don't move your head, and don't move your eyes around. Pay attention to what I'm saying. That's what behold means. Pay attention. Interesting, isn't it? Because they're going to get information that they have to have, that God wants them to have, that God wants them to prove, and what God wants them to apply. It's incredible how obvious it is in this passage. Don't be afraid and pay attention, because I'm going to give you good news, glad tidings, joyful news. This is the good stuff. This is not that you better watch out. You better not. You better pay attention. You better do everything right. This is not a naughty and nice thing. This is the nice part where the angel is saying, I'm giving you good news, because here's the good news. Unto you this day, in the city of David, just over the hills, a Savior has been born. Savior? A Savior is a deliverer. In the Old Testament, Joshua was the name of this name. In the New Testament, the Greek, it is Jesus. It means Savior. Someone who saves us from calamity. Somebody saves us to fruitfulness. It's not just to being saved from a punishment. It is being saved to a life of faithfulness. There is a Savior that is born. And then the angel says, he is the Christ. Oh. This is the one that has been promised throughout Old Testament by the prophets. This is the one that is said to be coming. And this is the one that that many people are expecting. And at this point, I don't know if they knew Simeon or Anna yet, but they were expecting the Messiah to arrive. The Messiah would make everything right. The Messiah would establish establish God's rule in the Jewish people. The word Messiah means anointed one. He is the one that is authorized to do it. There is a commissioning that takes place. And the priests went through this, where they would put oil on their head as they began their years of service. They started at the age of 30. This was an authorization. There's one person that is authorized to do what all the prophecies of the Old Testament declare, and that is the Savior, the Messiah, and he is Christ the Lord. The one who rules everything. This birth is fantastic. Fear? How can we, in trust of a Savior who is authorized to save us and is Lord of the universe? Not for me. Not good enough for me. There is nothing better. He's the only name among which we must be saved, by whom we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Here is. Now, the angel says, don't be afraid. Listen. Focus. Learn this. This is a message. There's good news coming, and it's going to be joyful for you. We have sung about that. And then the Savior is born today in Bethlehem, the village. And he is Messiah, and he is Lord of the universe. That is a mouthful. No matter how deeply you perceive it, or no matter how much you meditate on it, it goes beyond our ability to completely understand. In fact, it will take eternity for us to grasp all of the ramifications of what is said to these shepherds by the angel. But we have eternity when we put our trust in Jesus. He is our Savior. He is authorized to save us. And he is the Lord of the universe, just as the Bible declares. So shepherds, hear the angel, hear him out. Hear him out and learn this. This is crucial. This is absolutely necessary. And it's going to be good news, and it's going to be joyful for you, because it makes a difference between heaven and hell, literally. Oh, and by the way, shepherds, I'm going to give you a way to check this out. You can confirm this message that I'm giving you by doing this one thing. I'm going to give you a sign, and the sign is you're going to follow this. you are going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. You're going to go and you're going to find this. And when you find that, you will know for certain that the message I have given you is absolute and is true. Why did they go and see that baby? Because babies are cute. Well, yeah, most of them, you know. They are cute. They are precious. Not maybe as innocent as we sometimes ascribe to them, because they are fallen creatures. They need to be saved. But they weren't just looking for, they weren't looking for a inspiration for a Christmas carol. They were looking to prove a point. They were looking for a sign that would prove the message that the angel gave to them. And that was the whole point of them going to Bethlehem. There is one line that I meant to mention earlier. In what the angel was saying, I'll find it here. Fear not, the angel said, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. A little phrase. This is for all people, and yet, shepherds, I'm telling you. And in about 5 hours from now, shepherds, you're going to understand that intimately. Because if you think you're afraid of a bright light appearing on the hillside, wait till you start doing what I am going to demand that you do. This is for all people, but shepherds, I'm telling you. Well, hear him out. And next, check it out. Let's check this out. It's going to be a sign for you. Now, the Jewish people looked for a sign. That's how they confirmed whether it was God that was speaking or somebody else making stuff up. It was the sign that would confirm that. So here's the sign for you. And then they said, well, the sign is we'll go to Bethlehem and see the baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. That's what we're looking for. Once we see that, we know for sure that what the angel said is true. Remember what the angel said? A Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. You're going to know that's true when you see this sign. So they said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. We got to check this out. We have to see what the Lord has made known to us. We have to document this that the Lord has told us about. And so they went looking. Don't know how long it took them. And it's interesting, different places that people suggested that they went to see him. There's many theories about this. But the bottom line is they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby wrapped in swaddled in cloth, and lying in a manger. That was the sign. That wasn't the most pivotal part of this whole story for them. This was the sign that the pivotal part was true. They checked it out. They might have been frustrated with each other trying to find this. The second stanza of Away in a Manger. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus just cries out big time. Why is he not crying? That's part of a development of a child, isn't it? This is communication. Well, of course, a baby that misbehaves can't be a really good one. But a crying baby is not misbehaving, is it? It's doing what it's supposed to do, to get stronger and to communicate a need. That's why I often will sing that phrase differently. It's interesting also when the angel completed his assigned message, there appeared a multitude of heavenly hosts, probably including angels. We think that these are all angels. Well, maybe. We don't know exactly because they're not all named here. But they were praising God and ascribing glory to God in heaven and acknowledging God's sovereignty on earth. Particularly for and among those who respond appropriately to the favor that he offers them. The angels' praises may well have been the precedent for the shepherds' similar response. When they realized the message, they made known the message that they documented with the sign. They had been given the message, they had been given the sign, and they documented it. They were authorized then to repeat the message because they knew it was true. The message to those that needed to know but had not seen the angels was up to the shepherds. They did not observe this message and its sign firsthand, but they would be listening to shepherds who would describe it and to document the message. And they responded with wonder at the message, the ones who heard the message. They responded with wonder, and Mary treasured it up in her heart. The shepherds returned to their own lives glorifying God because they proved the message they had acted on, that it was entirely, absolutely true. So, hear him out, check it out, spell it out. They made the message known. It doesn't say how much they talked about whether the baby looked like his mother or not. It doesn't talk at all about things that we would talk to an infant or about an infant when we first see someone's newborn. What they talked about was the message that they had received because they had the sign that it was true. And it was for all the people, but the angel told the shepherds. But it wasn't supposed to stay there. Everyone wondered who heard it. There has to be some kind of belief in this in order to wonder about it. It'd be easier to say, a shepherd, in the middle of the night? They should be out sleeping on the hill. No, but they're talking about, what do they know about theology? No. Well, maybe more than we think. But then Mary treasured these things in her heart because she had a whole different background than anybody else. And they glorified God because of what they were told was true. Hear him out, check it out. Spell it out. That is our mission, isn't it? We take from the scriptures the truth that God has given to us, written right down and translated many times into our own language. Behold it. Pay attention to it, this message of hope, this good news. It will be for all the people, and yet he's teaching us, isn't he? Check it out. Prove it out. Think about it. Study it. Ruminate on it. Meditate on it. Prove it. And then spell it out. One thing I think our culture needs less of is diverse opinions. Now, we all have different opinions about various things. Over the last 53 years, almost Barb and I have discovered we have different opinions on some things. I'm learning. We have these different views, but in this, there's not a lot of wiggle room here with regard to who is God. Who is God's son? What did God's son do? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for those who have never heard the message? What about those who have heard the message but have never responded to it properly? What is our responsibility? We have a shepherd responsibility. And when we document how true the message is of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is incumbent upon us that this grace that we receive is available to everybody. That whoever will may come. So, maybe we need to hear the Lord saying, don't be afraid. Because it may be in spelling it out that is our greatest fear. But the message is true. May we bear it in our lifestyle. May we bear this message to others in our words, in the attitudes we have, in the work that we do, in the hope that we rely on, in the faith that we explain, in communications with people who probably may not even like what we want to tell them. Hear him out. Check it out. Spell it out. That's what the shepherds did. And we are given that authority, that authorization, that anointing to do it to ourselves. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, it's a wonderful story of shepherds on the hillside and the angels coming to share with them the truth of Jesus. And it's really a heartwarming story of the shepherds that are going to the place of the birth and finding a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Shepherds didn't see that every day with a baby. And then going off and telling people the truth of the message because they had proven it. And all these stages, you've told us, don't be afraid. You have favor with God. Don't be afraid to fulfill the plan God has for you. Don't be afraid to tell others what they don't know and they need to know.